Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready radio network, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and we also have a book out called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So that book is out there, would make a great Christmas gift for some of your friends that are into the whole tithing, seed sowing scams that the evangelists and pastors run on their congregations to enrich themselves. So, also, how do you like my new theme song? But I'm going to change the words to this song, and we're going to say, "Make the church great again." Amen. And well, let me know how you like my song. Also, it is the entire song is on YouTube. It's Songs for America by Susan. And we play the whole song at the end of the program, but I'm just kind of testing it out for this program and hoping if anybody has any ideas, I think it would make a great commercial jingle or something like that. So anyway, I'm going to be bringing my guest on here, our brother, the Wolf Tracker. Hello, Brother Wolf Tracker.
Hello, Sister Susan. God bless you. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. And are you tracking wolves there in the snow?
No, we're not. I'm shoveling the snow.
Oh,
tons of it. Tons of snow.
Yeah, I was looking at the news, and they said the Green Bay Packers are playing the Chicago Bears. It's going to be the coldest game, 2 degrees, and it's supposed to be like 40 below zero wind chill factor.
Brutal.
So, yeah, brutal is right. No, brother. But anyway, yeah, it's cold up north, not here in Florida. We have a beautiful day. It's warm, and I thank God that I'm not in the ice age, the frozen zone.
Well, you know, listen. Rather be shoveling snow than to be like Paula White's husband shoveling manure down in Orlando. So I'll shovel snow any day,
yeah.
As long as I don't have to shovel manure.
Yeah, well, our brother the Wolf Tracker is referring to a picture that actually Paula White, she proudly displayed this picture on her Instagram channel of her husband now, John Kane Friga from the band Journey, who they have horses, and she actually displayed a picture of him shoveling the manure. So that's what we're talking about.
He's shoveling that manure, and he's also shoveling the spiritual manure.
Yeah.
That they're promoting every Sunday, so.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. It's a good reference point because they never stop. And, of course, we know that Paula White, she has a daddy that she calls daddy. And also, what the Bible says, call no man father. So I don't know what all this daddy stuff is. My spiritual daddy, T.D. Jakes, the bishop, and he hasn't been wearing his clerical uniform lately. I haven't seen him, but there are pictures of him on the internet in his Roman Catholic collar. And there's even a picture of T.D. Jakes now. Why? Could you please tell me why T.D. Jakes would wear an earring to his daughter's wedding a few years back? That when his daughter got married and T.D. was giving her away, he was wearing a diamond stud earring, which I thought was very odd. I don't know what kind of a signal he was sending out there, because most men that I know, they don't have diamond stud earrings. Bishops, pastors, I don't know too many of them. I don't, and especially Catholic priests. I don't think I've ever seen a Catholic priest with an earring.
Yeah, well, T.D. Jakes' earring is magical because it shows up, it appears, it disappears, it appears, it disappears. So he's got a magical earring.
Well, that's true. That's true, because when the photograph came out of him in his earring, they airbrushed it away. I guess there was people asking the question that we're asking, T.D., Bishop, why did you wear an earring to your daughter's wedding? And we don't see the earring. We haven't seen the earring in other photographs. So I guess they were getting comments and negative comments or whatever. So the earring was airbrushed away. But I don't know, Brother Wolftracker, have you ever seen a so-called Pentecostal pastor wearing an earring?
He's the first and the only one I've ever seen that has sported an earring. The first, and mind you, my whole life in ministry was exclusively towards Pentecostal and charismatic people.
Yeah.
So I've never seen in the Church of God, Church of God Foursquare, in Kojic, I've never seen a bishop. You know, and even when you watch those TV programs, the preachers from Detroit and the preachers from L.A., even those guys who are, you know, those guys are in the gutter. Even those guys, they don't sport earrings. So I found it kind of shocking. I found it kind of shocking that the bishop, especially as such a, at, you know, when you're performing such a masculine duty as giving your daughter away in marriage.
Yeah.
That is a masculine duty. I mean, that, you know, that comes from the Latin phrase pater familias, where, you know, you are the patriarch of the family.
Yeah.
And what patriarch of any family is sporting, you know, a gay earring?
Yeah.
Unless he was sending a signal out to his, you know, to the gay community.
Well, it definitely was a signal. Yeah, it definitely was a signal. Because
in my neck of the woods, you wear an earring. If you're a man and you wear an earring, you're sending gay signals in my neck of the woods. So I don't know what it was about. I don't know what signal he was sending. But I've never, ever, in all of my years, and they've been many, in all of my years, I've never seen a pastor, a bishop, a deacon. I've never seen anyone in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church wearing an earring in the pulpit or at any family ceremony. Never.
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 So I found that, even Eddie Long, who has a certain kind of proclivity, Eddie Long doesn't wear earrings.
No.
So, now, maybe these guys, you know, I mean, Ed, there was some pictures of Eddie Long that I'm sure he didn't want them to go on the internet. But there were some pictures of Eddie Long in the bathroom, flexing, you know, wearing tight shirts and all that. Even in those pictures, Eddie Long doesn't have an earring.
Yeah.
He's got everything else except the earrings. So,
yeah.
I find it strange. I find it strange.
It was very strange, but you still might be able to see a picture of TD. You might be able to find one on the internet if you search.
It's out there. Yeah, it's out there with the video. It's out there.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to see it for yourself, this was a few years ago, of course, and it's the only picture I know of where he was wearing the earring at his daughter's wedding, giving her away. He had a big diamond stud in his ear. And so if you search T.D. Jakes wears an earring, you'll probably find it so you can see it for yourself. And let me know now. Do you think that's odd? I know that a lot of these so-called Christian rock and rollers, maybe some of these guys wear earrings. I mean, look at Todd Bentley. He has rings in his chin. I think he had one in his nose, or his wife has one in her nose. Now, weird.
Those are walking demons.
Exactly, because who would even want to go through all the agony of having an earring put into your chin? Can you imagine the agony that you have to go through to do something like that? And I think even his wife, I'm not sure, but I think she even had one in her tongue. This woman that he committed adultery with and divorced his wife and left his wife and children to hook up with this other lady. And so I think that there has to be some kind of decorum if you're going to stand in a pulpit. At least women look feminine. Men don't look feminine. At least present yourself in a godly fashion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I like to see women in dresses, especially if they're preaching or they're leading worship. I still like to see women look feminine. I still like to see men in a suit on Sunday. Even though everything's so relaxed now, when you look at a lot of these preachers, and of course we're going to talk more about these jackass bishops, which is Brother Wolf Trecker's new book, and the fact that the Pentecostal church, especially the black church, has been infiltrated by these people dressed up as Catholic priests and bishops and cardinals. But for us that are in the ministry, and some people do have public pulpit ministries, it is nice to dress appropriately, because you can turn on television on Sunday morning and you see a lot of these people. They're dressed so casual. They have jeans on, the pastor, and T-shirts, muscle shirts. Strange. I just like to see. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, I don't know, but I like to see people dressed appropriately, especially on Sunday morning. Remember the day, now back in the day, and it wasn't a few years ago, we used to get all dressed up to go to church. I think some of you remember that. Remember, we put on our best dresses and our hats, and sometimes we'd wear hats and we'd wear gloves, and we'd get all dressed up, and the men would be in suits. Nobody came to church. The men especially didn't come, especially the pastor. They always wore a suit and a tie. And how do you remember that, Brother Wolf Trecker?
Well, the other day I was watching a movie about Jackie Robinson, the baseball player for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah,
and back in the 1940s, I mean, you look into the stands, and every male at the ball game, no exclusion, every male was wearing a suit and a tie and a fedora. and the women were in dresses. Now, this is 1940s.
Yeah.
I remember as a little boy, I would say I was maybe about 9 or 10, Saturday, my grandmother would grab me and say, okay, now we're going to church tomorrow. And she would give me a washcloth. And she says, now get in there. And she's pointing to the shower. Get in there, scrub good. Put soap on the washcloth, scrub your neck, because tomorrow you're going to wear a white shirt. And you don't want to ring around the collar. And if I come out too soon, she says, get back in there. You need another 10 minutes. And now this was Saturday.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go to church on Sunday. And then on Sunday, of course, you wore your Sunday best.
Yeah.
I mean, your pants had to be the crease on my pants was straight. My shoes had to be, I mean, I had to polish them. My grandfather would give me the shoe polish, and he would read his newspaper, and I would be there polishing for the next day. This was every Saturday.
Yeah.
So my shoes were polished, my white shirt, my little clip-on tie, my little pants. That was it. You wore your Sunday best. And it's scriptural. You find this throughout the Bible. Every time God's people were going to meet God, they were told to change their garments, to put on their best. We've had such a drop off. And think about this, Susan. Back in the 1940s, we were poor, right?
Yeah.
There was no preacher. There was no preacher in the 1940s and the 1950s. There was no preacher preaching prosperity.
No.
And people wore their best back then.
Yeah, it's true.
Today, all we do is preach prosperity, and people come to church in tank tops, in sneakers, in T-shirts. Think about it. I mean, today we're preaching prosperity, and we don't have the clothes.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Also, what you see is, which is shocking to me, is the women and women preachers, and they're wearing low-cut dresses or blouses to preach. Now, I never thought I was going to ever see anything like that. And they don't think anything of it. But the Bible says that we're supposed to be modest.
Yeah.
And so what happened to modesty?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
It's shocking, really. Mm. It's shocking. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, bizarre end of the spectrum is the men coming to church in dresses.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
When I was back doing some wolf tracking, someone sent me a link to a video, and there was this female prophetess/teacher on YouTube, and she was showing her upper parts practically.
Yeah.
She did maybe 10 different broadcasts on YouTube where she's showing her top part.
Yeah.
Teaching the Word of God, mind you. So
yeah.
Called teaching the Word of God and almost half naked from
yeah.
the top up.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's
the
amazing.
Bible says that, that in the book of Revelation that the prophetess, Jezebel, will seduce my servants.
That's correct.
And that's basically what it is. If you're
That's
going
correct.
To church and you see men coming into the – now, imagine if you were married and you got up in the morning and you're getting ready for church and your husband goes to the closet, he pulls out a dress. Come on. What would you do? What would you do? And then he pulls out this dress, and then he pulls out a lace top to go over it.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Role reversal.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, but this is what was prophesied would happen in the last days. and we're just seeing it come to pass before our very eyes. Sadly, a lot of people have eyes, but they don't see what's going on. And they have ears, but they don't hear. And that's the sad part. That's the heart-wrenching part, that a lot of people go to these churches. I was watching some video on YouTube of these men consecrating another guy to be a bishop, and they're putting on all of the dresses, you know, all of the skirts and all of the stuff that they put on.
Yeah.
And you see the congregation applauding and saying amen, and they're going, you know, they're beside themselves. You know, wait a minute, your pastor is being effeminized?
Yeah.
And you're applauding that?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it was like if they were at the Super Bowl and their team scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's that kind of a thing.
That is bizarre. Did we ever think that we were going to see the day in church where men would come in a dress and a lace top and
you know,
a hat? Funny
you
hat.
You read the Bible, and you know that these things have to come to pass. But then you're blown away. You're really blown away when you actually see the prophecy fulfilled. You know, because there's a lot of things we read in the Bible, and we say, okay, we have a general picture, we have a general idea of how this is going to come, you know, how is it going to look. But then when it's actually fulfilled, and then you see these guys parading around in these purple dresses and these scarlet dresses and putting on the gold, you're just saying, wow, you know, this is mind-boggling how the apostles wrote this 2,000 years ago, and in my lifetime, I'm getting to see it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Why do you think that the Pentecostal church especially has bought into this whole priesthood thing and bishop thing, and what do you think is behind it?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I mean, one is, and let me just say this from the beginning. I was born again in a Pentecostal church, Pentecostal Holiness Church. I spent my whole life ministering, serving the Lord in a Pentecostal church. I feel very, very comfortable in a Pentecostal church. I don't feel comfortable in a Lutheran church. I don't feel comfortable in a Presbyterian church. I don't feel comfortable in a Methodist. I was born again in a Pentecostal church, and that's where I feel most comfortable. Now, having said that, I can tell you that one of the reasons why the devil has had his way with the Pentecostal church is because of major ignorance. You know, when your ministers are ignorant, when they go to these diploma mills and they get these bogus degrees, and they walk around, not all, I need to make that clear, not all of these guys and gals went to diploma mills, but a great many have. And when you go to these diploma mills and you get these bogus degrees and you walk around claiming you have a master's degree in this and a doctorate in that, and you just and you look at them and, you know, they're drinking the Kool-Aid by the gallons. So Satan has had his way because of a lack of proper theological training.
Yeah.
Having said that, you and I know that none of the believers, not one believer in the New Testament, ever went to Bible college and seminary. Not one. There was no such thing as a Bible college and seminary.
Yeah.
So the Bereans, the Bible tells us, the Bereans searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true.
Yeah.
So, you know, for whatever reason, they're not reading their Bibles, because the Bereans didn't have college or seminary, and nothing slipped by them. They didn't let one heresy slip by them. Not that Paul was preaching heresy, but those people were checking out their Bible. And I just think that it is a lack of biblical knowledge. And secondly, I think that they just want to be validated so bad. They want to be somebody so bad that they join these Episcopal clubs. They become members of these joint colleges.
Yeah.
And they put on the outfit, and in front of their 15, 20 people, they're somebody. And I thank God that I don't suffer from that. You don't suffer from that. A great many of my friends in the discernment ministry don't suffer from wanting to be somebody or something. We
yeah.
are somebody or something in Christ already.
Yes.
And that's all we were looking for.
That's
to be,
enough.
You know,
yeah.
in Christ. And that's it.
Yeah.
So I would think those are the two major reasons why. They want validation. They want to be somebody. And also the lack of ignorance, the major, major ignorance concerning the word.
Yeah. But it also, I think, too, that it has something to do with the prophetic movement where people are receiving these personal prophecies that they feel like they have to live up to then. And then they're also taught in church that they have a destiny to fulfill and their plan and their purpose. And it's always some kind of a great destiny where you're going to be somebody famous and you're going to have this great ministry. So then a lot of people feel like they have to help bring these prophecies to pass. And they can't be content just to be content with godliness, because the Bible says that godliness with contentment brings great gain. So we don't have to strive to be anybody. Everybody's a minister. Everybody's been called to the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people to Christ. So God doesn't have any special people. And we don't have to be so insecure that we have to try to be accepted into these groups where in most of these groups, if you spoke out against seed sowing and you spoke out against compulsory tithing, they would shun you anyway.
Well, that's a great point, because think about it. In the day and age in which you and I came into the church, when we were born again, you had one pastor, right? One.
Yeah.
One. There was only one pastor. Most churches didn't have an associate pastor. They just had a pastor.
Yeah.
And in the church that I was born again in, my grandmother's church, I knew guys that were deacons for life.
Yeah.
Brother Deacon, you know, and he was a deacon for 40 years.
Yeah.
It was never elevated, was never told he had a destiny, and, you know, if you want to know what your destiny is, just look at Matthew 16, where Jesus says, if any man wants to be my disciple, if any man wants to be my student, let him take up his cross and follow me. That's
yeah.
my destiny. That's everybody's destiny.
Yeah.
Just take up your cross. Now,
right.
if you're following somebody else, then you're not. And it's not Jesus. Then you're gonna pick up a mitre. You're gonna pick up a cassock. You're gonna pick up, you know, a certificate of apostolic succession. But Jesus never mentioned any of that baloney. He just said, take up your cross and follow me. Everybody, like you said, was a servant.
Yeah.
And everybody gave, not because they were forced to give, not because they were told that there was going to. I don't remember as a child, as a young teenager, as a young adult, I don't ever remember my pastor getting up and telling us that the windows of heaven were ever going to be opened up and God was going to pour out a blessing. And, you know, I was in, back then, I was in church 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Because that was the holiness church. I mean, the only day you had off was Saturday. But you were in night. You were in church every day. Every night you were in church.
Yeah.
And, of course, Sunday was the big day. You were there all day long on Sunday. You were there all day long. And when you had all-night prayer, it was really all-night prayer.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So I don't remember my pastor ever saying, you know, we were going to get a blessing, we're getting a wealth transfer, you know, I don't remember ever the Day of Atonement offering.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Passover offering. I never heard my pastor ever talk about first fruits.
Yeah.
Ever. And you know what we did? My parents and my grandpa, they all went to work at their local factories.
Yeah.
Worked hard, made an honest living, lived within their means. These people lived within their means, and we prospered. We were godly people.
Yeah.
And that was it. Today it's, you know, you're being forced to give, you're being tricked to give, you're getting conned into giving, and you're broke.
Yeah.
You're broke.
Yeah. If you go and take a survey in these churches and you would ask the people honestly to raise their hand how many of them are actually out of debt after all the giving, I don't think you'd get 10. Even in a crowd of 1,000 that could honestly say they have no mortgage, they have no car payment, or they have no debts.
And, I mean, we weren't rich, but we had yearly vacations. I remember my grandparents, we would, you know, I was an orphan. My mother passed away when I was young. So my grandparents finished raising me and my siblings. So that's why, you know, we got the washcloth and we were told, because now we lived with my grandparents. And so, you know, it was a large family. And my grandparents worked and everybody in the house worked. Everybody pulled their own weight. Everybody gave to the Lord's work. Everybody lived within their
cheerfully,
means.
Cheerfully,
cheerfully. Cheerfully, because we loved God. We loved God.
Yeah.
And we believed in what the church was doing.
Yeah.
No one had to tell my grandmother to give. I mean, her money was set aside. She put her money aside first, far more. But you know, also, our pastor wasn't a bum. Our pastor just didn't show up on Sunday, and worked 1 hour. You know, did his little routine for 1 hour. And got paid more than everybody else. No, our pastor also was visiting, going to the hospital, counseling. The man worked.
Yeah.
He wasn't a freeloader. He wasn't a parasite.
Well, that's very true, because nowadays the pastor, he doesn't do hospital visitations or nursing home visitations. They have their assistants doing it. Yeah, it's beneath them. Yeah. Well, I'm not. I don't do that. I remember a few years back, I was trying to find somebody. I'm in Florida. My aunt was in New York, but I was trying to find somebody, and I was calling different churches, and I was speaking to pastors and pastors' wives, and I was asking, could somebody sit with this old woman? Somebody had to sit with her when she went to visit her husband in the hospital. She had to have somebody sitting with her. Nobody wanted to do it. I had to pay somebody. I had to actually pay a pastor's wife to sit with this woman for 5 or 6 hours in the hospital while she visited her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't want to. No, they didn't want to.
No, it's not part of the ministry anymore.
No.
Just showing up on Sunday and being the big wig on Sunday.
Yeah.
And shaking hands and smile. And you know, there are pastors that say, "Well, I shake everybody's hand at the end of the service." Of course you do, because you know that when the people are filing out of church, they have a few dollars in their hands and they want to shake your hand. They're greasing your palm.
Of course
you want to shake their hands. You're not doing it because you love them. You're doing it because you're feathering your nest.
Well, and also, while we're talking about this, the video that I saw on YouTube, and anybody that wants to go and look at this very shocking video of Jackie McCullough being ordained a bishop, and she puts on the outfit, and they put a ring on her finger, and then they tell people that they have to kiss her ring, and also that they can no longer touch her as far as come up to her and hug her and just treat her like a normal sister because now she's a bishop.
Again, we're told in 1 Kings 19, verse 18, God said, speaking to Elijah, I have a remnant. And he says, I have a remnant that have not done two specific things. One is bow down, and two, kiss Baal. Those are the two things that God says concerning this remnant that God has put aside for himself. They have not bowed down or kissed Baal. When you watch that video, what do you see? What do you see? Because the chief consecrator, he first invites all of the attending bishops to file in a line. And as they're walking towards this particular new bishop, they are bowing before her and kissing her ring.
Yeah.
The same thing is said in the book of Hosea, the minor prophet, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Now, the book of Hosea, the minor prophet, is the book that talks about spiritual adultery. And it ties in beautifully with Revelation 17 when you read about the harlot church. So spiritual adultery and the harlot church go hand in hand. What are they doing in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2? They are bowing before this idol, and they are kissing it. So it's paganism in the Pentecostal church revived. That's all it is. It's paganism in the Pentecostal church being revived to receive the Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah, and, because it is a form of idolatry.
Well, sure. I mean, the same person, the same consecrator in another video tells the people after he finishes ordaining this other bishop, a male, he says to him, now you can come and receive the people's, you can have them greet you and give you their adulation. Well, I was struck by that word, and I quickly went to the Oxford Dictionary. Adulation is worship. You can come and receive their worship. And it's on video. It's on video. Adulation. It's to receive praise. It's to receive worship. It is to receive honor. And that's reserved for God.
Yeah.
It's not reserved for man. But they're conditioning, they're conditioning people. Because when Antichrist comes, what does Antichrist want? He wants to be worshipped. So it's going to be an easy transition because people are already being taught now to worship man.
Yeah.
Remember last year when the Pope came to the United States, Pope Francis? I mean, you had to see the people bowing in front of him.
Oh, it was terrible. And one of the most boring people. He puts himself to sleep when he talks.
You know, I would have to say, in my opinion, as you just said, he's very, very boring. I would never think that there would be somebody more boring than Douglas Shackelford, who is Paula White's assistant. But I think Pope Francis edges Dougie Shackelford by a nose.
Pope Francis does. He's the most boring speaker. The most boring public speaker of all.
Yeah,
we'll have Pope Francis, then we have number two, Dougie Shackelford, number three, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Hillary's right up there. That's another one. That's another one. She's blaming the Russians for losing the election. Please, lady, please. 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 That's one of the people that, you know, when you're listening to them, you have to tie yourself down because you want to jump out of a window.
Well, it's so true, because if you look at Pope Francis now, if you ever listen to one of his speeches, he never talks from his heart. He's always reading a script, and he talks in this monotone fashion. I guess it's a form of hypnosis or something, because people like it. These people are flocking to listen to this man, to see this man. And here's the what I thought was so ironic is he flies into America on this huge, I think it was like a 727 or a 747, a huge jet. This is his private jet to use to fly into America. And then he's saying that he's going to be frugal when he travels, and he gets into a Fiat. Now, he gets off this huge airplane, and he gets into a Fiat, I think. And people really, they wanted you to get the picture in your mind that look at how humble this man is. While you can go to another picture of him later in the day, and he's drinking from a solid gold chalice with jewels on it, and he's wearing clothing woven with gold, and but yet that's how they tried to dumb people down. Is here, this is what's really going on here. The guy lives in a 1,000-room palace. I don't know, it's 1,000 rooms or 10,000 rooms, he flies over in a huge jumbo jet, but look at this humble man. He's driving around in a Fiat.
Well, yeah. It's the story that they craft, because, you know, he's big into global warming, and yet his 747 is spewing out more carbon monoxide and more stuff into the atmosphere than you and I will ever do driving our little vehicles in a lifetime. Right?
Yeah, and also he doesn't want a wall. He doesn't want a wall, but he has a wall around his palace.
Yeah, I mean,
and guards.
Italy is being inundated with refugees.
Yeah.
So all the Pope should do is let everybody into Vatican City.
He has plenty of room over there in his palace.
Yeah, let them camp out.
Yeah.
Stop lecturing us about being humanitarian, and why don't you just let them in Vatican City, feed them? I mean, you have enough stolen art and jewels, and sell it off and feed them. Do what Jesus said to the rich man, to the rich young man, rich young ruler. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Shut up. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You're boring. And sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That's all.
Yeah.
Don't come here and lecture us about.
They would never miss it. If they sold off a few of their, even if they just sold off one piece of art, like say one of Michelangelo's, if they decided to auction off the Pietà or David, the statue that Michelangelo did, all they would have to do is sell one of those priceless works of art, and they could probably house and feed most of the world that's starving. But yet, this is the picture, and this is the picture we see in so many churches today, is this is what we want you to believe. And they talk about feeding the poor and being generous, and yet the lifestyle of these people, it doesn't mix, but they count on people dumbing people down, and they count on people not seeing what the truth really is. Because when I went to Catholic Church when I was a little girl, they had a box, a poor box, that you could put money in for the poor, and they had you could light candles, and that money was supposed to go to the poor or whatever. But meanwhile, the Catholic Church is just the real estate alone that they own. In my county here, we have a county of about 200,000 people. There must be 8 Catholic churches in this county. So just the real estate alone in my county is worth millions. So you can imagine what their real estate holdings are worth throughout the world, these massive cathedrals that they have. And so...
But they're making, look, you know, in my family, the Catholic Church is making a ton of money. My maternal grandmother was Pentecostal Holiness. My maternal grandfather, my paternal grandfather was Catholic.
Oh.
So my father was Catholic and my mother was Pentecostal. Let's just put it that way. So there were weekends when I would spend time with the Catholics, the Catholic side of the family. Okay, now my father has 16 siblings. That was back in the day when Roman Catholics didn't use birth control.
Yeah.
So my father, one of 16. Now,
wow.
all of my uncles and aunts are almost dead. They're almost all dead. And I'll get a card or I'll get a letter in the mail asking me for a donation because my uncle's yearly mass for purgatory is coming up because they want to do a mass. So can you imagine? My grandfather had 16 kids. Almost all of the 16 kids are dead. And now now the children of those 16 people are doing masses for their parents, and these masses are like $500 a year to get a relative, you know, to get a couple of years knocked off on purgatory.
Yeah.
So these people are long dead, and the Catholic Church is still making money off of them.
Yeah.
Still making money.
Grave robbers.
And my stepmother called me. She says, "Listen, your dad's thing is coming up. Do you think you?" No, I'm not contributing. You know what I am.
No, 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 no.
You're
no.
not getting a penny.
No.
Stop giving these people
no.
your money.
No, don't bother. Don't bother me. Don't bother me, please. No. And if you really want to make somebody angry, if you have Catholic relatives, if you want an enemy, and you will get an enemy, tell them the truth about Jesus. Tell them that. Tell them Jesus doesn't live in a wafer. Whoa. You get them angry. You get them angry.
Forget it.
Tell them that there's no purgatory. Tell them they can't pray anybody out of purgatory after they die. Oh, if you want an enemy. But the
thing is,
you'll sow a seed. You'll sow a seed of the Word of God. Anyway.
Yeah. Tell them Mary's not a virgin and that she had other kids. And forget it. They'll write you off. The mother of God
like
is not
one.
A virgin?
No,
the
they don't like
God?
That one. No.
No,
that one. Yeah, that one really makes them mad because they can't stand the thought that Jesus had Mary and Joseph had children. They were married.
Exactly.
And of course, we know Jesus didn't have an earthly mother. He had Mary took care of him, but God doesn't have a mother. So,
you know what's amazing? It's amazing that Roman Catholics, the priests and the hierarchy in the Roman Catholic Church, they want you to believe that Joseph was married to Mary. They want you to believe that part of the story.
Yeah.
That Joseph loaded up Mary on the donkey, and they went to Bethlehem, and then from Bethlehem they went to Egypt, and then so they want you to think that Joseph and Mary were husband and wife, but that they were never intimate. Isn't that bizarre?
Well, it is bizarre. Because they have to perpetuate this myth about Mary being the perpetual virgin, and of course Mary ascends into heaven. When she dies, she ascends into heaven, Mary.
Yeah,
and she's
yeah.
the queen of heaven. She wears the crown, and she's the queen of heaven. So they have to perpetuate this myth. And they tell you that they don't worship Mary, but I know when I was Catholic, I worshiped Mary. We were crazy about Mary. We were more crazy about Mary than we were about Jesus. And Jesus was an afterthought because we didn't know who he was. We thought Jesus lived in the box there on the altar in the wafer. We didn't look at him like he was a real person. So,
I remember when people in my family would die on my father's side, and we would go to that person's house for 9 days after their death, and we would do the novena. The novena was 9 days of rosary prayer. And you would take the rosary in your hand, and you would go through each one of the beads, and you would say the same prayer until the beads were done on the run. And you did that for 9 days. And I remember us kids, we would like to go to those things because, you know, that was an opportunity for you to see the other kids in school. And that was it. I mean, it was a night out. It was boring if you were doing the novena, but if you can sneak away from your relatives and go out to the porch and hang out with your friends, it was a great night. But most times they sat you right in the front there and you were doing the novena.
One thing, though, I have to hand it to the Catholics, because when we went to church, now, there was no children's church. We sat there for an hour on Sunday, and the Mass wasn't even in English. We didn't even know what the guy was saying. We sat there. No, there was no children's church. No, no, no. No, you sat there, and you listened, and you didn't make a fuss. That's how you were raised. Now they have to kick the children out. They have to go to children's church. And they don't learn how to sit in church and listen to the sermons. They want to go and have fun. But I think the Word of God is fun.
It's exciting, the Word of God.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Powerful.
It is. It's powerful. And it refreshes us. It renews us. It renews our mind. And we all need our mind renewed, especially in these days that we live in, these days of stress. Everybody has stress today. There's so much stress. And you notice that your bills are going up. Oh, yikes. You get your car insurance bill. The car insurance goes up. You get your taxes. The taxes are going up. You go to the grocery store. Oh, my word, the price of things. I was looking at strawberries the other day. I like to buy organic food, and I'm looking at the organic strawberries. $8. $8. They used to be $4. All of a sudden now, $8 for strawberries. So, well, because they said, oh, well, they're not in season, but $8, yikes. And so we all have our stresses. The price of gas is supposed to be going up now. And so as soon as you think that you're going to be saving something, all of a sudden the bills come in, and the bills are going up and up and up. So we need God's word.
Think about this. You buy a box of Ritz crackers or saltine crackers, and the box is the same size. The price went up, right? Because, like you said, everything's going up. Now, when you open the box and you take out one of the packages, because, you know, in a box of saltine crackers, you get four packages.
Yeah.
When you pull out the package, it's like half the size.
Yeah.
It's like they're giving you less in content. So everything's going up.
That.
Everything's going up. The box size is the same. But when you open up the package, I mean, who ate these crackers? Crackers are missing.
Well, that's it. The box is the same size, but
the box is the same size.
It used to be 16 ounces, maybe now it's 10 ounces or whatever. So, and you do, you feel, you get stressed out. You say, yikes, what is going on here? So, this is the time, and people that like to go to church, and they like to go, and they like to have fellowship, and then it's hard to find a place to go. Because imagine walking into a church service on a Sunday morning, and there's the pastor standing up front in a dress. He's got a dress on, and then he has a little lace top over the dress, and he's got a collar on. He's wearing a Catholic priest collar. Now, you walk in there, and you say, well, what is going on here? What have I gotten myself into?
Yep, well, it's the I just did a series of teachings on the 5-step plan that Satan has to destroy the church from within. And the first is infiltration. The second is paganization. The third is demonization. The fourth is contamination. and the fifth is annihilation. I did it in 5 days. And so Satan wants to infiltrate the church, your church, my church, whatever church we go to, and he wants to infiltrate it with Roman Catholicism. And once he gets your pastor to open the door, and once the devil gets a foot in the door, he'll infiltrate the church, then he'll paganize it. Then he'll get your pastor, because the first person who looks Roman Catholic is your pastor. I mean, he's got the little beanie, he's got the zucchetto, he's got the pectoral cross, he's got the mitre. And, you know, now you're finding that even black African-American pastors now are starting to speak a little bit of Latin. They learn a little.
Really?
Latin phrases, and they're doling those out. And in addition to that, if you notice, if you watch any of these streaming services, now they're starting, a lot of African-American churches now are starting to recite the Apostles' Creed. So now we went from the pulpit, now it's passing to the pew. And we know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The devil leavens your pastor, then it spreads from your pastor to you. And now he's coming in a procession. There are a couple of kids in front of him. It's amazing. The same way the Roman Catholic Church has altar boys, now in the African-American church, you watch these Sunday processions, and you got little boys carrying big crosses. Another one's carrying a candle. Another one's carrying a banner.
Yeah.
It is a replica of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And we're in the last days because this is just a setup to prepare the church to receive Antichrist. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So we're there. And in the video that you mentioned about Jackie McCullough, it's a video called Simply Sacred. If you watch the video, and now you have to watch the one that I believe has 8,000 views, because the one that has more views, the audio is just terrible. But they put out another one that has 8,000 views. If you listen to that one, the guy who consecrates her, and he's putting on the outfits on her, he says, listen, this purple cassock that we're putting on her is the purple cassock from Rome. Now, he's telling you point blank, folks, this comes from Rome. If it was me, I would never be in a service like that, but, I mean, just to hear that, I mean, I would be flying out that building. But the people have been so dumbed down.
Yeah.
That they're there for a celebration and an elevation, and they don't realize that Satan wants to infiltrate the church, then he wants to paganize the church, then he wants to demonize the church, and when you're demonized, then you become contaminated, and when you're contaminated, then comes God's judgment, then comes annihilation.
Yeah.
That's what's being done to the church today. And that's where we're heading, and it's just going to get uglier, because I don't see how this there can be a course correction. I don't see it.
No, because I don't see it either.
That would mean that how are these preachers who are so prideful, because they are so prideful, they would never admit that they made a mistake. And that's the only way you can reverse this process. You have to take the hat. You have to take the funny hat and all your clothes. You have to empty out your closet. You have to take it to the church parking lot. You have to put kerosene on it and burn all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then tell your church, listen, I was deceived. This is not of God. Now, which one of those guys or gals is going to do that? Not one. Not one, because they're just too prideful.
Yeah.
They're never going to admit that they're wrong. So I don't see a course correction coming.
No. I don't either. I know that some people, especially on so-called Christian television, they're prophesying this great revival, but I don't see any great revival. I don't see any great revival, because even if you turn on these programs, you hear very little real Bible teaching, real true Bible teaching. Most of it centers around giving. So there's always a hook to get you to give them some money. And there's nothing wrong with people taking up offerings. If they choose to take up an offering, I don't have anything against people taking up offerings or people supporting ministries or people giving. Of course we're supposed to give. We're Christians. We're supposed to know that. Nobody has to beat us over the head to get us to help people. This should be our nature. So, we don't need people promising us the world because we give. We just give because we love people and we want to help. But I don't see any great revival. I see a great falling away when I see what appears to be the church, and it's kind of like what's happening with the news. Now, you're hearing a lot of these people coming out, and they're saying, oh, all this fake news, and now Facebook is going to monitor people, and they're going to decide what news they're going to put up, they're going to monitor your speech. Who has more fake news than CNN? And Fox News has fake news, too. A lot of them have fake news, and they report things that aren't true. They don't do their fact-checking. And so there has to be an alternative to fake news. And there's websites like the Gateway Pundit and the Drudge Report and Breitbart, some of these news people, their news is pretty well accurate. And it's like our radio broadcast here and your radio broadcast and Jackie Alnor's and some of the other people. We are putting out an alternative to the fake gospel that people are preaching. So everything seems to be happening in concert, is where people are rejecting the fake news of CNN and the fake news of Fox and a lot of these other fake news, New York Times, and the fake preachers, Rod Parsley, Richard Roberts, and Paula White, and Creflo Dollar, and a lot of these fake preachers, and people are going to start coming over to what's real. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to waste their time listening to these false prophets and hearing a gospel that's not going to help them get through this life. We all need God's grace and mercy every day to get through the day, because all of us have challenges we're dealing with. So I don't see any great revival.
No. How can there be a revival when you find that they're doing in the political world what they've already done in the church? You and I and Jackie Alnor and others, you think we're ever going to be given a spot on Daystar? You think we're ever going to be given a spot on TBN? You think we're ever going to be given a spot on the Impact Network or the Word? You think those networks are going to have us on?
Never.
Never. We've already been censored.
Never.
Take, for example, your book, a great book, which I recommend everyone get. What publishing house is going to say, Susan, we're taking your book and we're going to make sure that it goes throughout all Christendom? Not one of them will touch your book.
No.
And it has truth. But they'll take Benny Hinn's book,
yeah,
which promises everyone a wealth transfer. They'll take his book and they'll take it to the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
These are the people who promote fake news, fake gospel, and
yeah,
they censor what is real and what is true.
Yeah.
My book, Jackass Bishops, it'll never see the light of day in any publishing house. Never. Because they're going to censor. They're going to say, oh, no, that's too controversial. Controversial? Satan taking over our churches is too controversial to write about? That's it. So the fact that Facebook is joining, and that's, you know, all Satan wants to do now is mask it under fake news, but he really wants to censor fake gospel, the real gospel.
Yeah.
He's coming in that way. We're going to censor fake news, but really what Satan wants to do is censor us.
Yeah.
That's who they're going to target.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, they're going to censor us. That's the smoke screen. That's the fog of war. But really, they're going to look for people like us, and they're going to in a couple of years, we won't be able to say what we're saying right now.
Oh no.
Not on Facebook, not on Twitter.
No. It'll be considered hate speech.
Exactly.
And they've already done that in many countries in Europe and Canada. You can't say things against homosexuality and certain things. It's hate speech. So eventually we're going to be in that same realm. But if you look at YouTube, for instance, and I see that we have a caller, and I'll take this call in a minute, but if you look at YouTube. Now, a few years ago, I put a video up about Mike Murdoch, and Mike Murdoch filed a complaint against me, a copyright infringement claim. I guess I had a picture that I found on the internet of him. It must have been one of his pictures that he took of himself or something. Okay, I didn't know it at the time that you can only use pictures that aren't copyrighted. So I didn't know if his picture was copyrighted. Anyway, he filed this copyright complaint against me and wanted to take my YouTube channel down. Now imagine, who am I? You know, I have some kind of influence. I don't have any big influence on the world or anything. But yet he's picking on me, Mike Murdoch. So he gets my channel taken off, and I redid the video, and I took his picture out, and so it was only my content. And then a few months after that, I get a copyright complaint from Paula White, and she wants to have me shut down. She doesn't like what I'm saying, but again, I didn't use any of I knew after the Mike Murdoch thing not to use anybody's pictures. I had my own pictures that I used, and you can find pictures on the internet with no copyright, and you can use those. But then Paula White, somebody puts up a channel, and it's all about Paula White, but the channel is all videos of Paula talking, and it's a lady doing commentary. So Paula White decides that she's going to have this woman's channel taken down, which she does. And then she proceeds to file a lawsuit against the lady. And guess what happened when Paula went to court? She lost the case because the lady wasn't doing any copyright infringement. It was a harassment. Paula was harassing this woman and suing her for $10 million.
Yeah.
And anyway, the judge threw the book at Paula White and told her that it was harassment, and told the lady that she could, now that Paula White lost the case, she could file a lawsuit against her for malicious prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thank God for that. But we do have, so now Paula White's being sued for malicious prosecution, which is going to happen to some of these other people. Why don't they just listen to what we're saying? Why don't they just go to the Word of God and look and see what the Word of God is saying instead of going and suing people for telling the truth about your gospel scamming? And so for now, I think we do have an edge where we can get the word out, and maybe even if there does come a time when they decide that we're not going to be able to broadcast or publish or whatever on the internet, that our programs will still be out there. That's why I think it's very important to have hard copies of books, because if you have a book, you have it. They could take my book off the internet, and Brother Wolf Tracker's book and Jackie Alnor's book and some of the other great books that are out there, Walter Martin's books and Dave Hunt's books, and they could take our things off the internet, but if there's still hard copies of these things, you'll still be able to have, and of course our Bibles, which they'll never take away. They've never been able to take away the Bible.
Anyway, let me see what this is. I think we have a question from a listener.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes, do you have a question?
Yeah, you mentioned you were talking about a lawsuit. I think I'm a victim of that as well. I was bullied by some church members in New York State.
Really? What happened?
Well, they weren't following they were preaching, you know, anti-gay marriage. They're pro-gay marriage. So I wrote a letter.
Oh, they were
New
pro-gay
York.
Marriage.
Yeah, and I felt that didn't go along with the Bible. So I.
Of course.
Excuse me. Am I in the air? I need to get a glass of water. I just
yeah, you're
I
on
followed,
the air. Yeah.
I think I just followed a fly. Can you give me like 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be another hot potato, the gay marriage thing.
Yeah,
that's gonna be another thing we need to contend with, and they're gonna start forcing churches to do gay marriages. Now, the only way to prevent that is, see, most churches don't have bylaws. They incorporate it, but they don't have bylaws.
Yeah,
and what you need to do when you incorporate is, you need to send in your bylaws with your incorporation papers and put in there no gay marriage.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it from the time that you incorporate, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back. I got a glass of water. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what happened was I wrote a letter to the Diocese of New York, and what happened was the church found out, and they actually called me and said that we're gonna sue you for libel since I wrote it down.
Yeah, you're getting some feedback. I don't know if you've got your sound on your computer, or you might want to turn your sound down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're getting feedback. You're repeating
okay.
yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get a letter from them, and they're telling me that they're going to sue me for libel. Because I wrote it down, and you know, I can't afford that, and this church has a lot of money, and I guess I'm just not sure what I should do.
Well, why could they sue you for libel?
Well, because I wrote some things about them. I said they're not preaching the true gospel, and I think, you know, they're heading to the road to perdition. And they didn't like that. And it doesn't even matter if I win. I can't afford a lawsuit. I can't afford to go to court.
Yeah.
Well, the thing
well,
is...
Well, if they lose, what do you have to say, Brother Wolf Tracker?
No, go ahead. You.
Well, if they lose, then they don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. You could represent
yourself.
But I
can't afford the trial.
Oh,
well,
I
Well, you
see.
Can represent yourself. I mean, you can just... You can represent yourself, and if you're standing on the Bible, and they claim
yeah, they
to be standing
really
on the Bible, yeah, they can't. Now they can threaten to sue you, and they can sue you, but winning is another thing.
Yeah.
See, winning, and then see, in the case of Paula White, if Paula White ever sues anybody, then that opens the door for you because now you get yourself a top-rated attorney, and you go right for the jugular. You go right for her financial records, and you prove that she's a scam artist based on her. See, and one thing that these people don't want to do, these prosperity preachers, they don't want their books opened. So
but how do I afford a lawyer? I can't even afford a lawyer.
No, you represent yourself. You can represent
yourself. I mean,
how am
I going to do that? I know nothing about the law.
Listen, when you just present your case based on scripture. That's all. That's all. It's easy.
Well, I mean, we're not going to tell you what to do. You have to.
No. I'm not going to tell you to. I'm not going to tell you.
But this is
you have to
law.
Make up your own mind about what
but,
you're going to do.
But human law is a lot different from God's law.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing
mean, there's
is
no
that
law that says you can't speak out against what the Bible says. I mean, we don't have those kind of laws in our country yet. But
and not only that, look, the judge and the jury does not drink the Kool-Aid that most of these people are
they're
serving
getting a
in
lot
church.
Of feedback. You have to turn your sound down there. I think you have your computer on or your radio on.
Are you sure? No, I don't have anything on. Are you
oh,
sure
okay, because something's backfiring.
Yeah. Yeah. So
all
anyway,
right.
Look.
I'm gonna close this call. But I mean, you have to do what you feel you have to do. We can't really tell you what to do. But we're getting bad feedback from your phone or something.
Nice.
But anyway, I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, I appreciate your time. It really it helps. You know, I'm not sure if I can afford a lawyer.
Well, you won't need a lawyer if you represent yourself. They're not going to sue
you. If you do represent the truth,
yeah, they're not going to sue you.
There's a chance that you know you could win because I do think that I'm on the right side. You know, I'm on God's side.
Yeah,
but still, you know, I'm nervous. I don't.
Well, you might
want
to go talk to them. Maybe you should go talk to them. Sit down with them and have a little chat.
Well, I tried to. And it's just more accusations, and they have a lot more.
We're getting
money
bad
than
feedback
I
from your call,
really,
so I'm going to
really
have to hang.
I'm not sure how that's gonna play out at all.
All right.
Well,
so
pray
I'll be
about
praying
it.
For you. God bless.
Yeah, no,
I'm gonna hang.
I'm feeling like I'm David.
We're getting bad feedback.
Goliath,
so.
But the only problem is I don't
Thank
know if.
Thank you for calling
if,
in. Anyway, I can't take that reverberation. Anyway, we just pray for that brother that he makes the right decision because I can't tell somebody to sue or not to sue or
no,
whatever.
No,
because
no.
I don't want to be responsible for
no, but if you get sued, the least thing that you can do is represent yourself. It doesn't cost anything to represent yourself.
No, it
and
doesn't.
You can go to a library.
You can study case law. Yeah, you can go to a library.
Sure. You can go to a library and Yeah.
But I doubt seriously that they'll. Sometimes they threaten lawsuits, but anyway, I think we have another comment here. Hi, do you have a question?
Yes, hi. I just would like to know: is it biblical when a bishop says that he wants to? The Lord has told him to. Choose a member that this bishop feels should be a prophetess and not ordain. I can't use the word ordain a prophetess, but, in other words, choose a person and say, well, I feel that the Lord has, spoken to me and that you should be a prophetess, Is that biblical?
Really?
Is that biblical? I know if
absolutely
that
not.
Happened with someone. Yes.
Absolutely not. It's absolutely not. No, that's crazy. That's crazy church.
Yes.
No, the Lord is the one who calls everybody. Whatever you are in the church is because God calls you. Nobody calls you but God. Now, others confirm your calling as you remain faithful and as you are dutiful and as you live the way Christ would have you to live, others will see God's calling in your life and acknowledge it. But the calling comes from God. And if, if someone's calling you to be something and you didn't know about it, that's bizarre. That's bizarre.
Yeah, and another thing is I would be very careful about these when pastors try to elevate people in the church and they make a public spectacle of it. Even and that can be dangerous for somebody. And then to have that kind of a title, prophetess or prophet or whatever before your name, and then the people in the congregation are looking to you instead of to Jesus.
Well, my main test for any, because, being in the Pentecostal charismatic church, you always had people coming up to you and talking, I'm a prophet. I say, well, okay. What do you know about Revelation? Oh, I haven't studied the book. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You're a prophet and you don't know anything about biblical prophecy? Beat it. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, that's
Please.
Right. And another thing is this bishop that you're talking about that's calling this person to be a prophetess, is it personal prophecy that they're calling this person to do, is to go and give people personal prophecies?
I think most prophetess, that's what it ends up being, you know,
yeah.
Where they start, you know, saying, well, you know, I think the Lord has told me to tell you this or that.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I just heard this from a person the other day,
yeah.
And I didn't
yeah.
say anything because
yeah.
I know that they're very much, in, you know, involved in this, and they're a believer, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't dispute it, you know, but I just said, well, I don't think that to myself. I said, that doesn't sound right, or
no,
a bishop,
no.
Just as Susan said, he's like elevating. She was a deaconess. That's the way she
yeah.
said it. She said, I was a deaconess, but my bishop tells me now that he feels that I should be, that I'm actually a prophetess.
Oh,
you know?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then he, you know, not anointed her, and he didn't, you know, but it was something on that order, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just bizarre behavior.
No, that's,
okay.
that is. It's bizarre behavior. And, you know, she just needs to be careful because she could wind up getting hurt, really.
Sure.
And what about all of these prophetesses in the church now and prophets, just like all these bishops?
They're profiteers. They're prophets.
Yeah, profiteers.
Yeah, Second Peter.
Because you don't need personal
Peter.
Prophecy. You really shouldn't go around, you know, looking for somebody to give you personal prophecies. It's better to get your whatever you need from God. Let God talk to you.
Yeah, if I was pastoring today, if I was pastoring a church today, I would teach some prophecy, but it would come out of Second Peter. It would come out of Jude. It would come out of Revelation. And all personal prophets and wannabe prophets and prophet liars and profiteers, there's the door. See you later.
Exactly,
we want what Peter said. Peter said, we have been given a sure word of prophecy. That's
Amen.
What we want. And that's
yeah.
that's the Bible.
That's the Bible. Because okay. most of the time, if you look at these so-called prophetesses, what are they prophesying? They're usually prophesying that you're going to have some kind of great ministry. And it's usually these puff prophecies.
You know, one of the so-called greatest prophets in the church today, one of the most prominent and sought-after prophets of the church today, I mean, he just fell on his face last month. He prophesied that the Cleveland Indians were going to win the World Series, but the Chicago Cubs did. And then he prophesied that Hillary Clinton was going to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So Brian Kahn.
Brian Kahn.
Yeah. One of the and he's highly sought after.
Yeah.
And he blew it.
Yeah.
Twice. And that's just recent because he's been blowing it ever since.
Yeah.
So.
But that's it. I wouldn't. You know, I would. If the time arises when you could have a little talk with her and you do it slowly, to try to prevent her from getting hurt, because you could really get hurt. When somebody tries to elevate you like that, and we get our prophecies from the Lord. In exhortation, it's okay for people to exhort each other and to help each other on their way, but I would be real careful about personal prophecies. Anyway, I want to thank you for calling in. I see we have one more
you.
Caller, and we have a few minutes left, but God bless you. Thanks for calling, okay? Call in anytime. All right, let's see. I think we have one more caller here. Let's see. Hello? Do you have a question?
One of my favorite stories about John Adams was that he had a vicious sense of humor, and he was really well known to have.
I don't know what that was. Let me go back there, but I'm put up. Are you talking about John? What does John Adams have to do with anything?
Well, he had this vicious sense of humor, and he used to rail against.
Okay. Anyway, we just have
yeah.
a few minutes left, and so, caller, send me an email, susan@propheticnews.com, and we'll get to your email, because I just have about 3 minutes left, so I don't have time to answer the call. But anyway, Brother Wolf Tracker, where can people find your book? And you have a new radio broadcast also?
Yeah, Yeah, they can find the book. If you go to paganbishops.com, paganbishops.com, it's a little website. It's not anything special. But there you can order the book. If you make a $15 donation, we will send you a PDF copy. The book is only in PDF format. It's not in paperback. It's not in hardback. It's not in Kindle. You can just – it's a fabulous book. People are sending me endorsements after reading the book. They really love it. So you can get it. Just go to paganbishops.com, and there you'll find a one-page website, and all the information is there. Now, I have a new radio broadcast. We put Wolf Tracker on hold for now, and I come on to do a broadcast every day. It's called Jackass Bishop News. Jackass Bishop's News.
And that's on Blog Talk Radio?
And that's on Blog Talk Radio. And I just finished doing a wonderful series. I mean, the people were emailing, thanking me. I just did a 5-part series on infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination, and annihilation, the 5-step plan Satan has to destroy your church from within. And, you know, one of the things, Susan, about the book is the book Jackass Bishops. You know, I could have written a 1,000-page book on that subject, but the reality is no one's going to read it.
Yeah.
So the book is 200 pages, and then the other 800 pages are on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for having me on.
Yeah,
today.
It was great.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure, as always.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Wolf Tracker, very much for coming on. I appreciate you very much. God bless you.
God bless.
All right, bye-bye. All right, everybody. Bye. That's the program for today. And if you have any questions or comments, just email me, susan@propheticnews.com. I do answer my emails. I do read them. So you can email me, and we'll be on next week. I think I might have Ron Roby on next week to talk about tithing. He's one of the experts on teaching on tithing. And then we have Jackie Almer coming up the first week of January. And so we have some great programs coming up. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Hi, everybody. Thank you for stopping by. Thanks to all the callers that called in. And thank you to all my listeners. Thank you for listening and making this program what it is. It gives me a time to talk with my friends and to have some fellowship, so I enjoy it too. But anyway, the most important thing today is, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him into your life to be your King? And he can forgive your sins, and he will forgive your sins. No matter what you have done, Jesus will forgive you, and he will give you a brand new life. That's what he's promised. So ask Jesus to come into your life today. It says in the 3rd chapter of John that you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans, where the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins to the Lord Jesus today. Ask him to forgive you. Believe that he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Bye-bye.